Hi, welcome. I'm Tab. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the extreme honor and yet with fear and trepidation of trying to communicate with you the wonder of the Holy Spirit, which is like amazing. I'm talking about a vineyard distinctive. Come, Holy Spirit. And sometimes, because most of my, I grew up in the Catholic Church. It's where I first fell in love with Jesus. It's where I first recognized the Holy Spirit as being a very important part of my life. And I took that very serious. I love my Catholic roots because it taught me to fear the Lord and reverence His holiness. I went from there into Toronto Vineyard, which then became, you know, the Toronto Blessing, TACF. And having recognized at 16 that although I loved God, I didn't know Him personally. Although I adored Him, and I would say I was actually infatuated with Him, I didn't have that freedom or confidence that I could relate to Him or that He could relate to me on a real practical level in my life. And so at 16, realizing that I actually needed Him to help protect my heart, govern my heart, lead my heart, because it was prone to disappointment, frustration, anger, irritation, I'm done with y'all kind of thing, that I would quickly throw out babies with bathwaters. And I needed Him to soften that because that was my propensity. And then at like 19, 20, I fell in love with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I encountered Him for the very first time. But because Toronto became the Toronto Blessing, which then became TACF, which is now Catch the Fire, and coming back into the vineyard, sometimes I feel like I straddle a tension. And that tension can sometimes, in my humanity, make me feel inadequate and insecure. So I'm just being really honest. I'm trying to honor the vineyard distinctive and communicate it in an accurate way that reflects its language. And at the same time, I'm human and will get messed up. So a distinctive is what makes it unique. It is the assurance of what they stand on. It is a principle that they abide in. Please go look it up. It's in the Y document. But it is a guideline, a standard that we lean into. Okay? One of the things that I do, and if you know me, if you've been around me for any length of time, is I love the Word of God. I love it. I listen to it. I tell the children to listen to it. I read it when I have moments that I can read it. I adore the Word of God because I've had so many encounters and the Holy Spirit lead me in the Word where I ask ridiculous questions. Wait a second, God, that doesn't make sense. How is that fair? And then He begins to unpack that with me for a very long time. And so this is just the beginnings of my references on the Holy Spirit. There's 175 verses here broken up into different categories, and it's not extensive because I haven't read through every verse categorizing it only through the Holy Spirit lens. Do you know what I mean? But this is one of the references. So please go into your Bible or go on to Blue Letter Bible and type in Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit, and go look at what it says about this wonderful person of the Trinity, at this friend, this helper, this comforter of ours. Also, what else do I have to pull on? Pulled on the Y document. You can find that online on Vineyard Canada, on our website. And it talks about our history. It talks about our theology. It talks about our posture and our practice. And then also, I've pulled off of Gary Bess, Naturally Supernatural. That's another thing. Our podcast called Wineskins, where it talks about the Holy Spirit in episode 2. I'm like, there are so many resources in and amongst our Vineyard community that you can pull off of to actually become very familiar with what it is that I'm briefly going to touch the surface on and we can't get really deep into. I mean, I think we could camp on the Holy Spirit for years and years and years. But what I want to say about this Vineyard distinctive is Scott has led us to this point through all of COVID, talking about the Jesus way, because our distinctives are found in there. He's led us to this moment with the prayer model, learning how to pray. And here we are at why we do what we do. So please understand that if you're confused by anything that I have to say, go back, because we've been leading you on this journey with real intentionality. What was really interesting that I found out while I was doing this is that, you know, 44 years ago, the Holy Spirit broke in amongst a congregation that John Wimber was leading, where he felt like the Holy Spirit was leading him to ask this young guy to come and speak. And that young guy was Lonnie Frisbee, 44 years ago on Mother's Day. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in the history of the Vineyard, Mother's Day seems to be a very important time. There are significant shifts and the Holy Spirit showing up on Mother's Day, which I find really fascinating. Now, I'm kind of a geek when it comes to certain things, so here's my geekiness in this. Interesting fact. In Hebrew culture, the number 4 actually means to rule and to reign. On the 4th day of creation, God created the heavens and the sun, moon, and stars. And he started time on the 4th day. And he put the sun and the moon and the stars to rule the day and the night. And so 44, to me, is even more interesting, because 44 is like a measuring, a weighing out of that ruling and reigning. And is that not what we're doing right now, where we are figuring out, who are we? What do we really stand for? The Vineyard's been asking these questions for a while. And I feel like when I saw that, I was so filled with hope, because I'm like, oh, Jesus, we're just touching the iceberg of somewhere where you're leading us intentionally. Because you have a plan and a purpose for your Vineyard movement. And I love that. I love that. So 44 years ago, the Holy Spirit came when Lonnie Frisbee said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And those three simple words, the prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit," the Spirit broke in, and it broke in interesting ways. One way is it came with words of knowledge. Another way is it came with healing. Another way is it came with evangelism. Those were just three of the aspects that were modeled as soon as that prayer was ushered, "Come, Holy Spirit." And it took John's obedience to take a chance on a young man who had a lot of controversy around him, to come into his congregation, his flock, to allow him to speak, and that young man to say, "Come, Holy Spirit," a prayer that has now become really the center prayer of all prayers that the Vineyard people pray. It is the first thing out of our mouths. And in that prayer, we recognize that there's no advancing the kingdom that we personally can do. I can't heal you. I can't adequately evangelize to you. I can't even adequately speak to you. We recognize our deficiencies and our poorness of spirit. And by saying that simple prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit," we lean in to rely on God to show up. The amazing part, and this is really good news, is that God wants to show up. His heart is so full of invitation. From the very beginning, that was on his heart. I am inviting you into a relationship with me, Adam and Eve. So I've set all of this up for you because I want us to be together. I don't want you to strive and work for our relationship. I just want you to be with me. So guess what? The water's going to come out of the ground. It's going to water the plants. Don't worry. Fruit's going to grow automatically. You don't have to worry about it. Just come walk with me. Come walk with me. And that same invitation came on the night that a young, humble, innocent child was born, and the first cries came out of his mouth. As Mary held her son, Jesus, the invitation was present. The invitation was there for the shepherds. The invitation was there for all of Bethlehem. The invitation was there for all of Jerusalem. And as he grew and he walked on the earth, he continued to invite people into this relationship, dependent on the Holy Spirit. The invitation was breaking in continuously as he came to the outcast, to the downtrodden, to the brokenhearted. And not only did he lift their chins, he raised them up. He breathed new life and sent them out with that same invitation. In the history of what John Wimber put forth and brought forward into our theology was the central understanding that without his Spirit, we can do nothing, but also that his Spirit wasn't just for the elite. It didn't depend on your social status, how much you knew or didn't know, whether you were male or female, young or old. It didn't matter if you were a master or a servant. His Spirit is available for all. This is where this vineyard distinctive of Come Holy Spirit stands. In the vineyard movement, we actually treasure the voice of our children, the voice of our elderly, the voice of the learned, the voice of those that are just learning. We treasure and value the voice of our men and the voice of our women. If you've been around here for any length of time and listened to our stories, you would have heard me share a story once upon a time when we were doing an all-in service and the kids were all together and the kids were leaning it. And on that particular service, I was leaning in to hear, God, how do you want to bring healing to our congregation this time? And the Lord had said, Tab, healing is going to come through the two-year-olds. So we spent time teaching our two-year-olds how to wait upon the presence of the Lord, how to invite the Holy Spirit, and how to listen. Have you ever tried to teach your two-year-old something? Right? Well, they catch on pretty quickly. And as the kids went Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you don't get the same kids on a Sunday morning all the time, we began to draw out what it was that they were getting after having a moment of worship and a moment of listening. And the children began to get major patterns that were developing over those 4 weeks that we were working on this with the two-year-olds. And we could see that on this week, this child got something, we put it over there. Oh, on this week, we got a different child that got the same thing. And we would watch this pattern, and we were confident that we had these elements that God wanted to work on. There was only one problem. There was one child, again, 2 years old, who got three letters. Made no sense to any of us, and there was no other confirmation there. But in leaning and listening to the Holy Spirit, one of the awesome things that we get to choose is whether or not we're going to exercise our faith, take risk, and obey what it is that we feel the Holy Spirit is sharing with us. So I had this predicament in front of me. Do I believe that God is actually going to bring healing through the two-year-olds? And if I do, despite the fact that I don't have any confirmation, am I going to bring this three letters, which makes no sense to me, forward? Well, I'm the type of kid that will take that risk. And so it was the last word we gave. This makes no sense to us, but we're going to take a stab at this. One of our two-year-olds got these three letters, and today I can't remember the letters, but if you ask Arielle McLean, because she was in that classroom with that child on that particular day, she remembers those three letters. And we said, these are the three letters. If this means anything, can you please stand? Actually, Pam, it was your niece that stood, or Tim's niece that stood. And they had just lost their son. They had just lost their newborn son. And the three letters were his initials of his full name. And we were able to bring that two-year-old over, which that two-year-old was Elena Baskerville. Do you remember? Come on over and prayed. It was right about here where they were sitting. And people gathered around, and they were able to be ministered to. We value in the Vineyard movement this leaning in to hear what God is saying, to obey it, to take a risk and see what it is that he's going to do. Now, there's no way that that two-year-old could ever know, right? No way. If it wasn't God speaking to that two-year-old. And so we believe in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29, and I know it's not on the screen. It will come about after this, that I, and this is God speaking, will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on your male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And Peter stood up in the book of Acts and he said, those days are now upon us. This is the moment where my spirit, his spirit, is being poured upon us all. So there are no superheroes. There are not any who are specifically just gifted to be the vessels of the Holy Spirit. Because the Word of God says that if you have yielded your life to the life of Jesus Christ and experienced that exchange, receive that exchange, honor that exchange, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins in the flesh and was raised to life again by the presence of the Holy Spirit, then let me tell you, Holy Spirit has brought salvation to you, and in that, he is also with you and in you. And this is what the Vineyard believes. Therefore, we are a people with purpose. We are a people empowered despite our weaknesses and our insecurities. But when we lean into believing that Jesus likes some people more than others, this is what happens. We compare, find ourselves on scales that find us insufficient. When we find ourselves on the scales of insufficiency, we become indifferent. We stop trying. That indifference is birthed by disappointment. That disappointment yields impotence in our spirit man. That impotence takes the talents and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, full Holy Spirit, in anyone who believes, not, oh, you get a quarter of the Holy Spirit, you get 1/8 of the Holy Spirit. You, I like the way you cut your hair, 75% of the Holy Spirit to you, right? Like, it's not the way it works. When God pours out his Spirit, he pours out all of himself. And all he asks is for all of you in return. Insecurities, everything. Bad breath, BO, all of you. Bad hair days, you get what I'm saying? Yeah? All of you is what he wants. And so if we yield to competition, becoming indifferent through our disappointments, becoming impotent, we squander and bury our talents. We diminish our value in the body of Christ, and we need everyone to participate. On Wednesday, I had the pleasure of being in this room because Jonathan didn't have worship practice. So whenever the worship leaders don't have worship practice on a Wednesday, you'll find the youth in this space. We had a worship night, played a little games first, worship night, and we began to stretch into hearing again. But generally, when I'm teaching the kids how to hear, I'm teaching them how to hear for themselves. And this time I'm like, I don't want you to hear for yourself now. Now I want you to hear for others. Because the Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he's on you for the people around you. And so in this space, we began to wait. And at the end of it, I asked every single one of the kids around this circle, what are you getting? What are you getting? What are you getting? And as they shared, each one, you could see the central theme of what God wanted to do, just like this morning. Everyone bringing their gift to the table. And what happened after that is that we were able to administer ministry to the questioning, to identity. And in amongst us, two of our youth gave their lives to the Lord. They did that with the Spirit by listening and yielding and bringing their pieces. You know, you see me a lot because I'm up here. But it doesn't mean that I on my own am sufficient. I was crying this morning, not because I was in lack, because of the beauty of all of you working together to hear. There is no greater joy of a parent when they see their children getting along together and working together. I'm not your mom, but I love this church. And there is no greater joy in my heart than when I see people step out in risk and faith to allow God to flow through them. That is the greatest joy that comes to my heart. In and amongst us. In our theology, we rely on the Holy Spirit for all things. We believe what the Word of God says, that he is our helper. And so it gives us the confidence to step into any situation knowing that he is walking with us and he will be there. We believe that he is our friend. And so we draw close in proximity to him in our quiet times and corporately. Intimacy is not about the soft music, as David would say. Wineskin Podcast, episode number 2, if you're tracking with me. But intimacy is about proximity. It is about how close we are. And the heart of the Father, the invitation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to draw you closer, to draw you in. They are full of kindness, goodness, faithful to you beyond measure. They believe the best of you and hope the best for you. They are working on your behalf in all situations, even though it might feel like all of heaven is against you. God allows in his wisdom what he could prevent in his power. Not because he's incapable, but he knows where he wants to grow you. And the reality is that the evidence of the Spirit with us, amongst us, is in fact the very fruit that is grown in suffering. Love. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Goes on and on and on, tells you all the attributes of love. Romans, love does no wrong to another. John, you know, if you don't love the person you see beside you, how can you possibly love the God you don't see? I'm paraphrasing. Love. It's a choice, and sometimes it calls us to a death. And the death is of self, because love is selfless. Joy. Joy comes and is actually valued as an expression of being totally connected with God in and through the midst of suffering. If you ever do a study on joy, joy always shows up on the other end of suffering. But we are in a society, in a world where suffering we can't handle. We take a pill for that. Any kind of over-the-counter drug. Or entertainment. And yet there is something so sacred, mysterious, and precious in suffering. Peace. In order to discover what peace is, you have to be in chaos and turmoil. You can't encounter peace without going through the trial. Patience. In order to exercise and come to a place of being patient, you must go through frustration. All of these things that we shield ourselves from and try so hard to avoid are the very things that bring the upgrade of what is needed in our lives, that bear that fruit. It is taking the seed and allowing it to go deeper within us so that it transforms into something completely different. You take the seed of a rose, it doesn't look like a rose. Do you know what I'm saying? You following me? And so these things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control all come with a tension on the other side. The opposite is true, as Chris was saying last week. God's purpose for bringing the Holy Spirit in and amongst us is actually to grow us into the image of his Son. Did I hear angry on that list? Fearful, vengeful, jealous. Did I hear strife? These are the ways of the world, but they are not the ways of the Spirit. Do I hear anxious in that list? And so we take a posture in this vineyard value of inviting the Holy Spirit and drawing near to him, where we also wait. We wait upon him. We wait to hear what it is that he is saying. We listen. We obey. We risk. We step out. Here's another story about waiting, leaning in to listen. Some of you might know this story and some of you don't. So I was minding my own business one day, about to get ready for an elders meeting, and I step into the shower and I hear Fawn's voice in my head, Fawn Hollihan, who was just up here. I hear his voice in my head. I hear it so clear as though he's standing in that shower with me. And he is speaking a word over me that he brought to me like at least a minimum of 5 to 8 years before that moment that I poo-pooed and I put it on the shelf. And when I heard it again so clearly as though he was right there, I went, Lord, why is this going through my brain right now? And he said to me, I want to change your definition of youth. And I said, okay. He said, for you, it's going to be grade 1 to grade 12. I said, all right, I can do that. That I can do. Because at that point when Fawn brought me the word, I was just like, don't give me the youth. I'll kill them. I have no patience for their drama. None whatsoever. You know, don't give them to me. I will kill them. And Fawn said, this is the word of the Lord for you. You want it or not? I'm like, okay, God's going to have to change my heart. And so I just dismissed that word. I just like put it up there. God, if this is you, you'll do it when you're timing. And if not, so be it. I share these stories not to point to me, but to give you an idea of what God can do with you. Okay? Because he's no respecter of person. So this is what the Lord said. Jackie's about to step down and I want you to take her place. I'm thinking to myself, logically, okay, you usually tell me things about 2 years in advance. So I've got 2 years from now. I'm still homeschooling my kids. My kids will be this age. All right, yep, I can do that. No problem. I'll do that. Not a problem, God. Little did I know it was 2 hours later. I had no clue. Entered the elders meeting and there was Jackie. She had never been at an elders meeting. So my shock of shockers, what are you doing here, right? And so we start the elders meeting, and Jackie says she's retiring, and I'm like, oh, crap, God, that's fast, that's too fast, you know, and I'm freaking out, and I don't say a thing. I wait, I go home, I tell Jeff, and he's like, oh, yeah, I tell my kids, this is what I think God was saying to me. You know, help me out here. Can you guys all pray and let's just discern if this is really God, right? Because that's me. I believe he confirms things two or three witnesses. So let's confirm whether or not this is God. And so wait a month. You know, my kids come back to me. My husband comes back to me. And they're all like, yep, we think this is God speaking. All right, great. Don't say anything. I wait till the next month's elders meeting. Yep, because this is me dragging my feet. And after it's done, I'm like, Scott, you got a minute? Yeah, so just wanted to let you know, I kind of knew Jackie was retiring. Oh, yeah, did she tell you? No. I was in the shower. This is what happened. This is what I heard. Are you applying for the job? No. I'm not applying for the job. Well, here's the thing. I believe God confirms things with 2 or 3 witnesses. So I'm putting this before you. Now you go and discern it out. That was April. Scott comes back in September. The whole time I just leave it over there. Because I know me, I don't want to get attached. I don't want to get all my emotions in there, so I just leave it over there. If it's God, he'll bring it back to me. If not, it's staying over there. So what happens? Scott comes back and he said, let me ask you a question. You know, if you were to step into this place, what would be your vision for children? And I'm just like, hadn't really thought about that, but if I had a vision, it would probably be, and all of a sudden, there it was. And Scott looks at me and goes, yeah, it's you. And I went, okay, hold on a second. Don't tell Jackie. Because if it's you, if it's the Holy Spirit, Jackie's going to come and say that she knows that it's me. So we wait another month. In October, Jackie shows up at our elders meeting. She hadn't been there since the one in March. Okay? She shows up. We haven't even started the meeting. She walks in. She goes, "Chap, I had a dream about you." I said, "Oh, yeah? If you know me, you know I'm a dreamer. I love dreams. You know, I love listening to what God's going to say in that dream. I believe that, like, it's never bad pizza." Now, that's not a Vineyard distinctive. That's a Tab thing. I just believe it's never bad pizza. I believe that God can speak and he can allow those things to speak. It's a revelation if you're willing to partner with him. So anyways, I'm like, "Tell me about your dream, Jackie." She goes, "Okay, so I saw you with a satchel of seeds. And you were standing in front of a field. And you were trying to determine whether or not you were going to actually sow 3 acres or 5 acres of seed." And I went, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit talk to me at that time. And I went, "Okay." And she goes, "You're supposed to take over for me." And I looked at Scott and I went, "Dang. 1, 2, 3. 3 confirmations. I can't ignore it anymore." But I waited. I waited. And then I started in November. But in that term, after Jackie spoke those words, I went, "Okay, Lord, you said grade 1 to grade 12, Jackie does these little people from 0 to grade 1. And she doesn't do, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. So talk to me about this, because this isn't fitting in there." And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, 0 to grade 1 belongs to Kylie. And he began to unpack the vision for the Oaks. It comes in waiting. I waited to hear that. I didn't get it right away. I waited. Comes in waiting, and we believe in waiting. We also believe in resting. And that's what I hope that story actually shared with you, is that despite this thing that was going on that took months to unfold, I wasn't anxious in it. I put it over here and I waited. We believe in waiting. We believe in resting. We believe in not trying to manufacture something and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. This is part of our Vineyard distinctive. In our practice, we believe that God can move in and break in at any moment, that the Holy Spirit himself brings the kingdom of God, that the Holy Spirit reveals the good news of Jesus Christ, and that he is willing and will come at any moment to do anything. And that could look like emotional healing. It could look like salvation. It could look like healing. It could look like raising the dead. It can look like blind eyes seeing, deaf ears opening up, the lame walking. And so despite our own insufficiencies, because we are really good at beating ourselves and others up, we're really good at comparison. Despite our insufficiencies, we can actually be conduits of the Holy Spirit's power to flow in and through us to minister to someone else. And when the kingdom of heaven breaks forth through the presence and power, proximity of the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. It also brings encouragement to the people that we are ministering to, that they are seen and known by the God of love and invitation. And so this is what we do. And it doesn't matter if you're qualified or not. The Spirit is in you and he is on you. So, to recap. In our being, we believe that God can and will encounter and manifest in all people through his Spirit, through the belief in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, and where he is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father in bodily form, resurrected. In that, in our believing, we believe that the Holy Spirit is still bringing the invitation and the good news of the kingdom of heaven to all people, young, old, doesn't matter, male, female, any ethnicity, it doesn't matter, creed or color. God is for all people, desires all people, with all people. He can break forward. In our doing, as a result, we are a people born with a purpose. And our purpose is found in proximity to the person of the Holy Spirit, who continues to reveal the truth of Jesus to our hearts, minds, spirits, souls, and encourages us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, his disciples, moving out in the world, and that he will use us. And so this is why our central prayer is, come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.